I don't know what this is. This doesn't sound like Pearl Jam.
Really?
What is it?
Inside Job. It's kind of moody.
Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't sound... Okay, now, see, now it sounds like Inside Job. Yeah. I guess I've never really listened to the... like, the beginning, like... weird art music. Art film soundtrack.
Well, this is a fun way to start the show.
Yeah. Are we recording?
Sure.
All right, cool.
Let's do it.
All right.
What is this? Evil Little Goats episode number 8?
Ocho.
Hey, look at us.
Yes, for all of our listeners south of the border.
For all of our Espanol.
Yes, listeners. Or east of the Cascades.
That's true.
Yes.
That's true.
Hola, amigos.
Yeah, this album, really, I've been listening to a ton, like, in the last week. And I wanted to talk to you about this week, so I'm glad that we're able to do this. I've been having just, like, a rough time lately, just, like, work stuff and life stuff and whatever. And I've slipped into my, you know, music therapy mode. And I keep breaking out Pearl Jam records, and they're making me feel better. And I realized this is why I love them. Because I can take a dump on them every week. We find something to,
of course,
get irritated and frustrated with or whatever. But when times are tough, I can count on them.
Yeah.
And I played this song and a couple others. It was like on repeat, and it just got me through.
Well, and this is a very good song to help get you through something.
Yeah.
And it's I believe it was written by Mike.
Boy, you got me there.
And
I don't know.
And I believe Mike has gone on record saying this is one of his favorite Pearl Jam songs that he's
really
written.
Really?
So.
Wow. Yeah. It's very good.
And I think if you go back in time all the way, I think, we're on episode 8, so this would be 16 weeks ago when we started. Well, maybe not 16, maybe. Well, anyway, episode 1.
Way, way back when.
Way back, episode 1. Because we haven't quite hit the double digits yet.
Right.
We're not quite out of our adolescent growing pains.
I was thinking it'd be funny if we just stopped with the 10th episode, if we just did 10.
Yeah.
And just that's it.
I wonder who would notice. Anyway, the very first episode, I remember saying that I've fallen in and out of love with countless bands, but there's always been Pearl Jam. Pearl Jam has always been the constant.
It's true.
Even when I fell out of love with Pearl Jam, they were still, I fell right back in love with them again.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's great that the music's able to kind of get you through and carry you
and it's weird because I was listening to Mind Your Manners again today because the video came out, and we'll talk about that. But there's parts of that. Like, it just seems like, for whatever reason, I feel like, and maybe I just will this to be the case, but I feel like I'm just in sync with where they are from a writing perspective. I feel like there's always something about what they're experiencing that I feel like, I feel like that too.
Well, I get that same response, and I think that's sort of a reason why a lot of people are really attracted to Pearl Jam, what draws them in to the band. Having talked with some of the band members, having watched interviews, having listened to the music and grown up with the music and grown with the music, I feel like one of the reasons that they're able to do that and write that way is because they're not assholes.
Yeah.
They're not like rock stars that are above everybody. They're just five dudes in a band that have, I mean, they're all millionaires.
Yeah.
They're set for life, but they don't mail it in. They're socially conscious. They care about things. They care about themselves, their communities, and that's something that they're like the everyman. They're like Bruce Springsteen, 15 years later.
Yeah,
kind of.
Somehow they keep it real.
Yes.
That's my favorite song this week. I don't know why. I mean, it's getting me through.
That's a very good one.
Yeah.
You know, strangely, I haven't listened to any Pearl Jam in the last probably 5 days.
Yeah, I think the last time you did, I did, because I was on Spotify and I see what you're listening to, and I go, oh yeah, I haven't heard that song in a while, and so I'll do that, or I'll just completely like learn new stuff because of what you're listening to.
And you know, it's odd for me to kind of jump around to not listen to Pearl Jam. Is it sounds funny, but it's kind of the norm because I'm a music journalist. I go around listening to all kinds of different music, and if a specific band's in town, I'll go listen to that band on Spotify, seek them out, or I'll go, you know, listen to their stuff and devour their back catalog.
Mm-hmm.
And now with Bumper Shoot happening this weekend,
oh, that's right.
It's like I'm listening to a million different bands, and none of them are Pearl Jam. But I have. It's not a hot tip. It's more of a power of suggestion thing.
Okay. You're going to Inception us?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to Inception this. Mike McCready will show up during the encore for Heart's headlining set.
Oh, wow.
I don't know that for a fact. I've just said it like I do.
Right.
But I don't know that
for
a fact.
You just proclaimed that as
yes,
a fact.
Yes. I'm going Nostradamus.
Okay.
Here. Because their encore is nothing but Led Zeppelin songs.
Okay.
Because Jason Bonham, John Bonham's kid, is opening for Heart, and he does the Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin experience.
Sure.
So Heart, for their encore, is going to play all Zeppelin songs with John Bonham.
Wow.
And I don't know if you've
heard... Do you know that for a fact?
I know that for a fact, yes. I don't know if you've heard Ann Wilson do Zeppelin.
Yes.
Do any... I mean, it's really fucking good.
Wasn't that the birth of the Lovemongers?
The Lovemongers, yes.
Yeah.
And if you've read, well, you probably haven't, but Charles Cross's Heart biography, mm-hmm. autobiography. I think it's called Kicking and Dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about, like, in the very beginning, their love for Zeppelin. It's so they have a very deep connection with Robert Plant and Jimmy Page. Musically, I suppose. I don't know, but like I haven't read the entire thing, so I don't know if they've ever met them. I assume they have.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is like being in the SNL Five Timers Club.
Right.
You know, like they all get their own jackets with their swanky lodge.
Sure.
You
know? Alec Baldwin's there for some reason.
Yeah, exactly. So Mike has done Zeppelin with the Wilson sisters.
Mm-hmm.
He's done Zeppelin like last year, I think, in 2012. He did at the Flight to Mars show. He did Black Dog with Anne, and
there's reason to believe he'll still be in town.
Yes, because he's in town right now.
Yeah,
I mean he's going to be in town tomorrow.
Probably today, if you're listening to this.
It's on
Tuesday.
It's Tuesday, yeah. So, which is going to he'll be at the Shadow Inn store.
Yeah,
which is going to be Easy Shoot Records at 7:00.
I'm not going to make it.
I will get there for you. Would you like me to buy you a vinyl? Do you have a turntable?
The turntable I have is it's a Fisher-Price turntable.
Nice.
That I won from The End.
Nice.
When Pearl Jam gave, or when The End gave away Vitalogy on vinyl with the Fisher-Price record player.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow. Does it work?
Yeah, it does.
Wow.
It's in my kid's playroom now, so she can play all my Pearl Jam records.
How's that going over?
It hasn't happened yet because I don't trust her sticky fingers.
Yeah. Do you have more than just Vitalogy on vinyl?
I think I've got Verses and Vitalogy and 10.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
Those are good ones to have.
Yeah. 10. The first time I heard 10 on vinyl, it blew me away. I mean, I heard it probably 10 years after it came out, and it sounded like a new record. I mean, the depth that comes
through
on vinyl.
Was this the reissue that you heard?
No.
This was just actual original vinyl pressing.
Just listening to it on vinyl as opposed to whatever digital copy. There's depth there that you hear on the vinyl that you don't hear.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, I'd be happy to get you a 10-inch. I think they're doing 10-inch, two songs they're releasing. Shadow is McCready's band from the 1980s,
mm-hmm.
That he went to L.A. with, and they failed. They were a hair metal band.
Mm-hmm.
And they've played recently. They played, I think, last year, 2 years ago, 2011, at the Tractor, and that was awesome. Like, you should hear how Mike plays with Shadow.
I have.
It's now, so different.
The one I saw, they did at the Showbox, and I want to say it was for like a Get Out the Vote kind of a show or something.
Yeah.
That show was unbelievable. McCready
was that the same one with Tom Morello?
Yes.
Where they did Got the Whole World in His Hands. This Land Is Your Land.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It was a great show. But if you want to see McCready let loose, this is the way to see him.
Yeah, it's like Stone's holding him back, man.
No, I just think it's the way that they develop their songs now. They don't let him just breathe. And now, like with this band, they just get out of his way for like 9 minutes.
Yeah.
And he just sets the place on fire.
And it's great.
And
Shadow is, of course, Mike, Chris, and Rick Friel. I don't know who else is in the band.
when I saw them, I think it was just Chris and Rick Friel and MacReady.
Well, they did something called Shadow 86.
That was it. It was Shadow 86.
And then it is Shadow, which is the full band, which is the actual band, and then there's Shadow 86. You know, Chris Friel is the current drummer in Sweetwater. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, isn't that fascinating?
It is. I love that guy. Yeah. I think I gushed
about him. I
love
Chris Friel. I have a problem with Sweetwater.
Yeah, I could see that.
But we'll
take him to task. Let's get him on the show.
Well, we tried that, you know, and now if we take him to task right now when he's not on the show, then he's going to listen.
Never come on,
and he's going to listen, and he's going to be like, oh, we're never going to talk to you again.
But it's like Pearl Jam. You know, you love him. You find the things to get mad at him about. But in the end, you still just love him.
Oh, no, I love Chris Friel. He's great. But Sweetwater, I have a mixed history with Sweetwater. But we did try to. We reached out to Chris.
Yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately, he's got band practice right now. He can't be on the show with us.
Yeah.
But he did respond very nice of him to do that. Mm-hmm. And he did mention that, you know, he would pitch to the guys in the band, see mm-hmm. if anybody else wanted to do it.
See if MacReady's around.
So I envision this meeting of Shadow before band practice.
Right. Before we get serious.
There's this unofficial Pearl Jam fan podcast.
Right.
That has tens of listeners.
Right. Tens and tens.
That really, really wants to help us hype up this Shadow in store that we're doing for free.
Who's in? Who wants to go? Yeah. I got directions.
In the very, very back of my mind, I was thinking, you know, he said he's going to mention it to the other guys, see if anybody else is interested. MacReady is one of the other guys.
He is one of them.
So that there was a possibility.
Right.
That, you know, I'm guessing it never got mentioned.
Probably not.
I mean, they're busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people forget.
Yeah, exactly. People forget.
So anyway, so Easy Street, which Easy Street location are they?
The only Easy Street location.
Oh, weren't there two?
There were two, Lower Queen Anne.
Oh, that's
and
right.
That got
closed.
Shut down in January.
They just closed that one.
Unfortunately.
Right.
So that's my favorite record store too. So that was a tough loss.
I heard a lot of people were bumming about that.
Yeah,
we can go off on weird tangents in the show. But
what was really fun about the closing of that shop?
Mm-hmm.
It was packed. There were probably 1,000+ people in there. Yola Tango performed,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, they're good. I'm not a big fan, but they're you know, they're a good, respectable, you know, durable indie rock band.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the owners was like, cooler of beer, just coolers of beer, just handing out beer.
No way.
Like, because all the shelving was gone. So it was like a big open concrete floor with just like merchandise on the sidewalls. So people were picking through CDs and stuff. And then the Yola Tango was playing. And like, it was kind of sad, but it was also like, hey, free beer.
Didn't the Young Evils play too?
No, that was when Troy Mercer proposed to Mackenzie.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the other thing. It made me all weepy.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's adorable.
That's very adorable.
And the Young Evils, Mackenzie,
she's lovely.
She's great.
She's lovely.
And Troy is hilarious as hell.
I haven't met him. I met Mackenzie a couple times, and we shared a drink one time. We at the show at the Neptune, and we're so all over the place in this episode already. But at their show at the Neptune, Mackenzie was working the merch table after they performed, and so I went over to the table, and I had my flask. And that was rum or whiskey or something. God knows what was in there. And I just asked her. I was like, I have two questions, one weirder than the other. And she said,
God.
Okay. And I was like, could I get a picture with you? And I said, we met once before at another show. So it wasn't super weird. But I said, could I get a picture? Yes. Okay, here's the weird part. Would you take a hit off my flask in the picture? And she's like, what's in it? And I was, whatever it was, whiskey. And, I was like, and she's like, hell yeah. So yeah. I've got a picture of her taking a hit off my flask.
Well, and there's a Pearl Jam connection to Mackenzie because Mackenzie Mercer is Lance Mercer's daughter. Lance Mercer, of course, was and still is kind of Pearl Jam's official photographer or one of the official photographers. Any of those photos you see of the band from the 90s,
yeah.
There's a 99% chance Lance Mercer took that shot.
But this episode is like the CSI of Pearl Jam fandom. Like you've got to connect the dots.
You kind of have to. Yeah, we're going to start mentioning really weird, like
totally
obscure names. And so there's a connection. Then the Young Evils, of course, had their first record. It wasn't distributed or put out by Monkey Wrench, but Monkey Wrench had their hands in it.
Yeah.
Because Christian, who's like the, I guess he's the manager of Monkey Wrench. Very nice dude. He contacted me about whether or not I wanted to do anything with Young Evils. And typically with anybody from Pearl Jam or Monkey Wrench or whatever wants to do anything with me, I always say yes, because why the hell not?
Right.
So, and that's when I got to meet the Young Evils, and we had drinks, and really weird connections were made because Troy's from a small town in South Dakota. My wife's from that same small town.
Oh, okay.
Troy went to high school with one of my best friend's wives, and who's also from the same small town in South Dakota that my wife is from. And
weird.
So this is really weird. Like, I was fucking with his head. I was like, I'm going to blow your mind here. It's like, do you know this person? And he goes, yes. Let me tell you how I know this person. Do you know this person? Yes. Let me tell you about my wife who knows this person who
no
knows
way.
You.
That's
it was
so
just
funny.
Weird. But yeah, let's talk about some Pearl Jam.
Yeah. But I do love the Young Evils. We got to find an excuse to have them on.
Oh, I'm sure they'd love it.
Just because.
You know, and what's really funny is, like, after I talked with the Young Evils and did the interview thing, I went off on a massive Pearl Jam tangent.
Mm.
And I started talking with Troy about Mike and about the band. And then, of course, I try not to talk about the band with Mackenzie too much, because once people – I'm sure she's used to it, like Pearl Jam fans finding out who she is or who her dad is.
Right.
Because her dad was also in a great band called The Briefs that I had no idea about.
Mm.
And The Briefs were fucking great. They're a local punk rock band.
Okay.
And Lance Mercer was in some other bands too, but The Briefs is the one I really liked. So we talked about The Briefs briefly.
Right. I see what you did there. I see what you did.
And then I started asking a bunch of Pearl Jam questions, and then I don't remember the reason.
I heard Mackenzie do an interview when Jet City Stream was a thing, and she was talking about how, because somebody asked her, I think it was Marco, asked her about being around all of that. And she basically said, I was a kid. All I knew is there was free food on the tables, and I ran around backstage, and that was it. But she didn't really, wasn't old enough or whatever to appreciate.
Yeah, and I did I'm reading Questlove's biography or memoir, Mo Meta Blues, The World According to Questlove.
Hmm.
And he grew up in a musical family. His parents were in a soul band, and they traveled around a lot. And I guess they were kind of biggish back in the day, and or big enough to travel and get their rooms comped and stuff. So he spent his childhood living in hotels and meeting Kiss and doing all kinds
nice.
Of stuff. And he was talking about how he went back to Philly and he went to public school, and somebody mentioned crappy food or mentioned regular stuff, and he's like, what do you mean, why don't you just have the butler deliver it? Because Questlove, I guess, he had no perception
right.
that
sure.
this wasn't reality.
Yeah.
And his mom stepped in because he was gonna get his ass kicked by these kids from
right.
the projects. They were like, what are you doing, rich kid, what are you doing around here? So yeah, and he thought it was totally normal. So I'm
so weird.
Sure, that's the same case for Mackenzie, growing up on the road with Pearl Jam, traveling around Europe and America, kind of going backstage and stuff, had to have been a really just surreal
yeah.
trip.
Yeah.
She is definitely a guest we should have on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
When we start having guests.
Yeah. And I won't be weird and make her drink out of my flask.
No, because she will have already done
it. She's already done it, yeah. So
she will be demanding your flask.
Maybe. Speaking of the olden days in Pearl Jam, you shared an article with me from the Rolling Stone that had, no longer has, a link to the first studio sessions.
Yeah, it's very strange that was news, because that's something that's been out for a while and that's been available. The boot has been circulated for a long time. And one of the first, boots that I picked up when I started finding Pearl Jam websites to download stuff that wasn't available from the band. Meaning not the official bootlegs, just kind of things that are shows from the 90s, things that are must-have, the Fox Theater show from Atlanta, and other things that you just have to have in your collection.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the first things that I downloaded, and as well as the band's first live performance. And it's really interesting because that's been around for a long time.
See, I think, isn't some of it on the Hallucinogenic Recipe collection?
Possibly. I mean,
I'll have to
sense.
Look at that when I get home.
I don't know what you're talking about,
by the way. Oh, you don't know what that is?
No.
It was mid-90s, early. They were big. It had to be kind of the Versus era. This collection was not officially released. It was a bootleg collection. But it's five CDs of some Mookie Blaylock stuff, some early sessions, some Green River. I No, the unplugged thing wasn't in there. I'll have to bring it in. You'll appreciate it. I'll bring it in and we'll talk about it more.
Sounds like it might be kind of like Nirvana's Outcesticide, which was like unofficial Nirvana boots that
maybe
that came out after Kurt's death that were like everybody was clamoring. This is when bootlegs were a thing.
Oh, yeah. I used to go to the Sound CDs up in Linwood was like the place to go for the bootlegs.
Yes, that place. I love that place. It burned down. Did you know that?
It did burn down.
Man.
I worked right up the street. I held a little funeral in my mind when that place burned down.
Oh, I was so sad. I bought Beastie Boys boots and I bought Nirvana boots there.
Oh yeah.
Oh man, and they were always really expensive, like $25-$30.
Oh yeah, for a cassette.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was ridiculous.
But it was just like
You didn't buy a regular album there. You went there because they had the collection of bootlegs to beat all collections of bootlegs.
Yeah, and I was a teenager, so I didn't know that like there were record stores on the Ave where I'd get the same thing or other places. So it was just like, oh my god, this I can't believe you knew about that place.
Oh, it was the best. It was the best place to buy records.
You should see my face right now, everybody who's listening. I'm totally smiling and remembering that. That's just like, and I go by that, and now it's right over by where the Target and the Kohl's and
strip mall hell.
And like I drive by that every once in a while now because I moved up into the area.
A single tier.
And it's always single tier. Like, every time I'm like, I tell my wife, like, you know, that used to be a record store.
Yeah.
It was like a nail salon. It was a video game store.
It's like H&R Block now.
Yeah,
it's like
some fucking, it's like a Yin Louie or something.
Travesty. Yeah.
Horrible.
So these sessions, are they worth digging up somewhere online if you haven't?
I think so.
Them?
I mean, it's definitely if you want to, you know, indulge your inner fandom. I mean, there's like Evil Little Goats is on it.
We're on there?
Exactly.
Dude!
Or no, Evil Little Goat. Excuse me. That's at the song. We're Evil Little Goats, plural. I didn't want to have any copyright infringement. I didn't want Kelly Curtis and his legal team to come after me.
I wouldn't mind getting sued by Pearl Jam once.
Yeah, you know what's? I had to change the name of Gorilla Candy from Ear Candy to Gorilla Candy because I got a cease and desist after. Well, anyway, long story short, when I was thinking of a new name for what eventually became Gorilla Candy, I thought. All Those Yesterdays.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, you know, it's a fun Pearl Jam song. I like it a lot.
Sure.
So I actually sent a mail to Pearl Jam's people. And I was like, hey, I'm being possibly sued for using a name innocently. So I'm going to change it to another name. And I'm thinking of using a Pearl Jam song. Here's the song I want to use. Is Pearl Jam going to sue me?
Right.
And I heard back, and they wouldn't sue me.
Wow!
She said that the Pearl Jam person said that, you know, she'd run it up the ladder and check it out with the legal, and they said, you know, not a problem.
Cool.
I did not use that name, but it was cool.
But you had permission.
I could have.
Pearl Jam said, go ahead, you can use it.
Yeah,
that's all right.
just like we can use Evil Little Goats.
Exactly. I'm sure that won't be a problem. All right, what else do we have here? I've got the list. So we've got a couple things. There's you got the clip of Matt Cameron playing Mind Your Manners.
Yes,
you've got
so
the actual
good.
Mind Your Manners video.
Yeah, pretty good too.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the video. You start.
Okay.
Because I always.
I've only seen it once. I only watched it once.
Okay.
I should watch it more than once, just because you know it's a Pearl Jam video. It's an event. But the thing is, they're so much more than just a video band. Like they aren't a video band, really.
Yeah.
They're like, it's great, unless they're doing something innovative or like a Spike Jonze video. Or I mean, it's great they're making videos again.
Why are they making videos again?
I think it's because, strangely, videos are still a part of the cycle.
Are they?
They shouldn't be, or maybe not. They shouldn't be, but they it doesn't seem like they should be. Because, like, you know how, like, the traditional model from, say, the 80s or maybe the 90s, you know, you have a single, you have a record, you release a you release a single, and then you release a video for the single, and then you release then they get radio play, and then when the record comes out, you release the second the second single if the first single does well, and then if MTV likes your video, then you release a second video.
Right.
Well, it's like MTV doesn't play videos, and really, like, YouTube has become MTV, really.
Yeah.
So there isn't necessarily a need for music videos, but I guess they did it because they can. Maybe they just wanted to.
And they definitely are. We talked about this a little bit before the show. They're releasing little snippets, little glimpses, little hints at what's to come from the album. And I think for them this is just another one of those. It's just, here's one more thing that we can put out there. And I mean, I don't think they spent a ton of money on it. It's not the most overly produced thing I've ever seen.
Not at all.
So it couldn't have cost him.
I mean, it's them playing in front of a green screen.
Yeah.
And there's some shadow stuff going on, and there's there's close ups a little bit.
Did the video reveal any of the meaning of the song for you? That you were, I mean, you've only seen it once. You haven't really been.
I don't think
study.
So.
No.
I mean, I was kind of looking for it a little bit because they have the animation in the background.
Yeah. There's a little bit of a story happening.
And the animation actually comes from an artist in Montana.
How do you know this?
I know this because I follow these Pearl Jam things on Twitter, these Pearl Jam fan sites. If you want to be a part of the community, you have to, you know, be
you
in the hardcore, you have to immerse yourself in the community.
You are hardcore.
And so this artist in Montana, Jeff Ament, got in touch with them. By the way, did you know it's Ament, not Ament?
I always assumed it was Ament.
I always thought it was Ament.
Really?
But it's Ament, Jeff Ament.
Hmm.
One of these days, we got to play the little, like, 10-second... we got to work on an intro, an official intro.
Sure.
And we got to include that 10-second intro where it's like, hey, Travis, this is Jeff Ament.
Oh,
give me a call back.
Here's my phone number.
Yeah, I specifically took out the phone number, right. even though I have it in my phone. I'd never,
this phone right
I would,
here?
I would never use it, mind you, unless we got super wasted and then decided to just be like, hey, you know, this podcast has been fun. Let's not do it anymore. I'm going to randomly call Jeff Ament and put him on air.
Right, totally. We could call him and just say, oh, sorry, wrong number, and just have the hello.
I also have Stone's number.
Yeah, we don't want to.
Anyway, I don't have Stone's number.
I'll bring the beer next time and we'll reconsider.
We'll get wasted on some faithful ale.
Right, right.
Yeah. But no, the video, back to the video,
yes.
Mind Your Manners.
Yes.
There's an artist out of Montana that Jeff Ament hired, the band paid him to do some work. And he made some animation stuff that,
and the, I mean the animation stuff looks familiar. I can't put my finger on where
it's
I've seen
it's
style.
A very it's like construction paper chic.
Yeah,
it's very it's cool.
But I want to say we've seen his work in other Pearl Jam stuff, like album inserts or something. Like something looks familiar to me, and I think
it matches the look of the album cover as far as like the shapes, because the album cover is really like half circles and ovals and
right.
like crescent moons, you know, it's,
yeah.
it's so I think like the it matches a little bit of the album cover as far as design wise, but I don't think he's done any other work for Pearl Jam.
I say you're wrong.
I say there's a strong possibility that I am wrong.
You're probably right.
I don't think the video reveals much about the album or the song. I think it's just a video. I think it's great they're doing videos. It's definitely better than the video they did for, why am I forgetting the name of the
song?
Was
that Do the Evolution?
No, I like that video.
That was a great video.
That was a great video.
But that was another animated one.
The one that, it's the one off Avocado. The first song on Avocado. It's
I don't know if I knew they did a video.
Shit. They did a video, and it's like their faces, and it's just weird. At least I think they did a video.
I'm gonna Google that.
All right, let's Google. Let's see who's quicker, your phone or your fingers or my phone.
Oh yeah, this one. Where yeah.
Is that a video?
This is the video.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like this video at all.
I've never seen this video.
Really?
It doesn't look familiar.
Yeah, I didn't like this video at all.
So is that a harmonica or is that Eddie on guitar?
That's a guitar.
That's a guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah, no way, I remember this.
Yeah.
I just never saw the intro.
But the guy with the ball, he keeps showing back up for some reason.
Yeah, it was better than this video.
Yeah, that's enough of that video.
Yeah.
I
don't know where it ranks and like, because Pearl, you know, they just stopped doing videos after Jeremy because the label wanted a video for Black. And Eddie was like, no, we're not doing any more videos. And so that's what started the great video void.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only like, I guess Yield came out in 98. So it was really
5 years.
A video.
Yeah.
But it didn't really matter because that was during the Ticketmaster mess.
But it was also, videos were still very relevant. Like Jeremy was huge. Like that thing.
That's iconic.
Yeah. One of the biggest videos. And so for them at that time to have been like, yeah, we're good. That was a big deal. If some band now said, oh, we're not making videos, everyone would go, yeah.
So why do you think they made a video?
I think that it's just another piece of the social media online push. Like you said, they've got plenty of money. So if it cost them a little bit to throw something together, and not that they threw it together, I mean, you know, like I said, it's a well done video. But I think it's just another thing that they went. I think that there was a big meeting where they went, what are all the things we can do to really push this thing for 2 months or whatever? A video is one of them.
Yeah.
And so I think that's it. One of the most exciting parts of the video for me is that I feel justified in my fashion choices by what Eddie Vedder's wearing in this video. I don't know if you noticed, at some point, like halfway through, he's just wearing like a plaid short sleeve T-shirt and jeans of some sort, which is basically what I wear every day.
Yeah, well,
and I feel like a schlub for it, but I went, well, that's what Eddie's wearing.
The big difference, though, is, you know, Eddie Vedder's a rock star. He can wear whatever he wants.
Yeah.
I could imagine, you
but
know.
But still.
I could imagine your boss be like, why aren't you in khakis and a tie, Mr.
Well,
Grader?
I do work in radio.
Yeah.
So I could come to work in my pajamas.
Anybody tell you
you've
got a face for radio?
I do. That's what I hear.
That's the joke.
That's what I hear. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So very exciting, the new video.
There's a reason this isn't a video podcast.
It's my face.
Or it could be mine.
Now
we'll be like The Ring. Like, if you watch us on video, all of a sudden, like, weird Pearl Jam shit's gonna start happening to you.
Yeah.
We should do a Google Hangout sometime.
We should do a Google Hangout.
Once we get, like, more than 10 listeners.
And once we get a computer that has a camera on it.
Yeah, I can manage that.
We could just, like, go somewhere and do it with a laptop or something. A little show.
I can have you come over. We can drink some, drink some of that Faithful Ale. And
there we go.
Put a slab of vinyl on.
We'll do
on.
The show in front of your gigantic speakers. Gigantotrons. The other things that we... Oh, so speaking of the video, there is an isolated clip of Matt Cameron playing just the drums.
Yes, and it is so fucking badass. Seriously,
I'm very excited about this.
I know. When this happened, I was just like, do more of this shit. Pearl Jam needs to do more of this. Like, the videos are great, but this is for the fan. Like, the video's cool. I think another reason they did the video is because, like, it's expected. Like, their fans are older. You know, they're, like, our age or older. And not everybody's a big music head when you get into your 30s or 40s. You know, you're not paying attention to music. You're dealing with life.
Right.
And that's completely understandable. And Pearl Jam knows this. They know that the average person who buys their shit, they have the fanatics. But the average person they're pushing this record to, we talked about this before, is just the Joe Schmo who shops at Target.
Right.
Or the person who listens to alt radio every once in a while because it's for them, it's in air quotes, classic rock.
Right.
So this kind of thing, the isolated tracks,
awesome.
That's what, I mean, fans eat this shit up.
You and I had speculated that there would be more of this, like band member doing their thing up until launch.
And maybe the next part will be the interview with Matt, or maybe they'll do something with Jeff. Like, Mind Your Manners, it really surprises me that it's not a Jeff song, because it's so punk edgy compared to the rest of the Pearl Jam catalog that you'd seem like Jeff would have a hand in it. But when you're listening to that, can you just hear in your brain the parts where Stone and Mike kick in?
Oh yeah,
and like you're just like, oh yeah, that's it right there. That's where the song goes this way, and you know it's just so cool. And if they do more stuff like this, it's like that's what I want from them. If I'm gonna pre-order the album and get the special goodies, which I haven't done yet, but I will, because I'm not missing out on special goodies.
Is it? It's still not too late for the special goodies.
I hope not.
It seems like by now they'd be all out.
Oh, no. I mean, like, the video extras, the shit that they give you.
I gotcha.
As opposed to, because that's for 10 Club only.
Right.
As opposed to just the regular, like, I guess, special goodies.
Schmucks like me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, man, it's almost September 1st. You know what's cool about September 1st?
I don't.
Not only is it the day before Labor Day, that's special, right?
That is very special.
That's the day that 10 Club ships the vinyl of The Vault Number 3.
Okay.
Which is the show, we talked about this a while back, which the vinyl that I spent too much money on, but I bought it anyway because they were only making a certain number amount, and they're making it to order, essentially.
Uh-huh.
Which makes it a super instant collector's item, which is fine. I don't buy shit because it's collector's items.
Right.
But I like having collector's items.
Right.
But it's a live Pearl Jam show from 98 on three slabs of vinyl. How cool is that?
That's awesome.
So they're shipping it on September 1st.
Is this the one that had the song that we were playing with the shoes?
No.
No, that's
no,
not
that
one.
Was
okay.
At 93 or 94.
Oh, okay.
But I'll bring in some audio of that because I have MP3s of that show.
Yeah.
That came when I bought the vinyl. But it's interesting because, like, September 1st is a Sunday. So they can't really, unless they're does UPS work on Sundays? I don't know. I mean,
their offices are closed, but they probably still deliver. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. So I'm not going to be home, but it doesn't matter. But
that's the day it ships. So you're not even going to get it till like Thursday.
Oh, don't say that. I'm in Seattle. Don't do that. Pearl Jam's never been mean to me like that before. They're good.
Well, you got the holiday. You got it's a Sunday, and then you got the holiday.
Yeah.
And then you're hungover on Tuesday.
Right.
So then they don't actually get in the van until like Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then it shows up on Thursday.
Thursday night, probably.
Yeah, Thursday night.
Because I plan on night. Working from home all week just so I can get that vinyl when they show up. But yeah, you know, the interesting, really interesting thing about that isolated drum track and mm-hmm. then the isolated guitar that was released a couple weeks ago mm-hmm. from Mike. Bands like Nine Inch Nails, they'll release their. This is the second or third time we mentioned Nine Inch Nails on mm-hmm. this podcast, but they'll release stem tracks. So they'll release
what that is.
It's essentially isolated parts of the song.
Okay.
Isolated vocals, isolated, you know, in different parts of the song. So they'll let fans take those stem tracks for free and mix them up and just mash them and make their own remixes of the songs. Now, I don't think I'm geeky enough to create my own Pearl Jam song or creative enough, but how cool would it be to just hear the bass, just hear the drums? You know, I don't care about the vocals a lot of times, but just to hear isolated. Have you listened to anything that's been isolated Eddie vocals?
No.
Really interesting.
Is it? Because I never have.
I'll have to track some down, but there's stuff on YouTube where you can find like isolated vocals of Eddie Vedder.
I was going
to
say I want to hear if they're going to do this. I want to hear him isolated on this because this is the first song in a while that I feel like he really is kind of playing in his sweet spot. I think Mind Your Manners, it really plays well to where he is vocally right.
Definitely.
So I do want to hear that, but I'll promise you this: if they do each release a piece of this song, I will layer them, and I will play it on this show.
Yeah, and you're an audio guy. You could definitely do that.
I could totally do it.
And you could probably make a fancy little intro for us out of that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a thing.
You take like the middle song, like the vocals, half the vocals, and mix it with like the drums from the third song.
I'm gonna start working on it now.
Guitars,
there's two pieces already.
Hey,
I'm gonna start working on it.
You could chop those up.
You mentioned Pearl Jam goodies.
Yes.
And there's a big update to the iTunes deal? Is that what happened?
Their iTunes store. Yeah, they released all the bootlegs that you could formerly only buy physicals of.
That's new? I thought we talked about that last time.
I don't know. We might have. I wish I listened to our own podcast.
We should listen to our show once in a
while. Wait a minute. Should I admit that?
Because there was an upgrade like within a day or two of the app coming out.
Right.
And we talked about what that upgrade was. Was that not this?
That was not this.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
No, that we
well,
were
this
talking
is brand new information.
Yeah, this is like they updated their iTunes store specifically. I don't know if they did it for it might be in conjunction with this because now you can go back into the app and you can find the shows and find the set list from whatever date.
Right.
So I imagine there's probably a lot of little buy icons now.
Right.
It'll take you.
That's what it was. They there was the timeline and we were both complaining. Wouldn't it be great if you could play the song instead of just looking at what they played?
Yeah, and now you can buy it. You can't play it, but you can buy it.
Where's my phone?
Let's see what
happens here if I.
But it's cool because they have the shows from like I think from 2000 and 2003, and you used to be able to go to like a Sonic Boom or I guess the CD store in Linwood was closed.
Sound CDs.
But you could go to those spots, and they would have, in the Pearl Jam section, they would have all these brown cardboard bootlegs that were official. And it just, like, you would have to kind of pick and choose. It'd be like, well, do I want this one or this or that way? What do I want? And so it's cool that you can actually get them digitally now, because who the hell buys CDs, right?
Right, of course. So there is a buy now, but I don't know if it's the I clicked on some random show. Oh, lame. Yeah, so I clicked on a random show from 2008 and went to a song and hit play, and then it takes you to like some background and a write-up and whatever. And then there's a buy now, and it takes me to Rearview Mirror, Greatest Hits, 1991-2003.
Ouch. Well, I'm sure that's coming. If it's not our, I'm sure that's probably coming. I mean, it would make sense.
That would be amazing. That would be such. I would never stop using that app if you could just go through.
Well, you probably can't listen to them. You probably have to buy them before you listen.
Well, but even that, like if they're a dollar or whatever.
Yeah. Well, what's really cool is like there used to be this, and I think it's still out there. That there's this Pearl Jam fan site where you can get boots called I Got Shit.
Mm-hmm.
And they have dozens, if not hundreds, of Pearl Jam boots. And they have them by, like, tour legs. So
oh
you can
God.
Actually download every single one from, like, 2003 East Coast tour leg. All, like, 28 shows or whatever. But they also had projects where they would, and I think this was from I Got Shit. If not, it was from the 10 Club message boards, where they do full albums. So they would try and find the best version of, like, of a song off Backspacer during the Backspacer tour.
Right.
And put that and then and find it from a certain show, and then they would find another one from a different show of the song, and they would put that all together so you could download an actual album and hear the whole album live. Which really Pearl Jam needs to do album shows.
Yeah.
Cuz they are an album band.
It's
do one set of just a full album and then play your greatest hits or play whatever you want.
I've only seen one band do it, and it was when I went to the Huey Lewis 30th anniversary of Sports, and they played Sports front to back, and he made the joke about time to turn the cassette over. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I would love to hear them do an album all the way through. We are getting near the end of the amount of time we usually allow ourselves to do this, but we do need to talk about the track list.
And we need to talk about Drumgasm.
Oh, okay.
But track list first.
Yes.
Yeah.
So a slow sneak peek, piece by piece, layer by layer.
Very cool. I think initially I was kind of miffed that Pearl Jam kept teasing and like leading us along and like doing the countdowns and like just kind of like just do it already, show
right.
it to us.
Right.
And now it's more like, oh, that's kind of neat. I mean, they're showing
it's
it
foreplay
across.
Is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's and as a guy, I know nothing about
yeah.
it.
Yeah, it's
I
foreign.
Just,
it's
I
weird.
Just want the. I just want to get to it. Damn it. You know, I'm already giving you money. Put out. Right? I mean, that's a male mentality.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah. So wow. they're like piece by piece throughout the day today. They and Pearl Jam released. I'm trying to recover from this. And it's just. They released over. I follow them on Twitter. I didn't follow the other, like, I guess they're doing on Google Plus and Facebook.
It's
and
all
Tumblr.
The same post.
It's all the same shit. Thankfully, you don't have to follow every single piece. If they were smart, they would make
different
it to
pieces.
Where everybody would go different places.
Exactly.
And then you would have to, like, be super. They would collect all the followers. Thankfully, Pearl Jam's not doing that.
Right.
But they release piece by piece, like, little parts of the album, of the artwork for each song. So
yeah,
I wonder,
do you think
there's a possibility that this vinyl or CD or however you buy it is going to be like fucking I cannot remember the name of my favorite Pearl Jam record, No Code.
I can't believe that's your favorite record.
Do you think there's a possibility it might be like No Code where there'll be different inserts for every song will have
insert. They'll have like a little playing card kind of, yeah, totally.
I mean, that kind of looks like what they might be doing.
Well, and that to me looks like an M. It looks like there's a letter there. So I wonder, it could all spell something out.
Yeah, how many letters in Pearl Jam? Not enough to make up 12.
No.
But they did two songs, Future Days, and then they also did Sirens. I don't know if I think if you go to pearljam.com, you can pull up Sirens. Yeah, there it is. I don't know how they piece that one out, but what's really interesting is on the first one on there's a heart. See the heart in Future Days in the logo. Then if you go to the logo for Sirens, the artwork for Sirens.
Where was I? Is that over here?
There's a heart there.
Hmm.
So
they're just sharing the love.
Maybe we're getting soft.
They're just sharing the love.
There's actually three hearts. A little bottom
one,
there.
One, two, three. Yeah. Huh.
And then maybe there's a hidden
clues,
heart in there somewhere.
The clues.
Yeah. Well, and that's really, you know, that's
where you geek out, because you're hardcore. You're putting this puzzle together already.
Well, I'm thinking, you've mentioned clues. Like, there's definitely some kind of theme with the hearts for the first two pieces of artwork. And I don't know if they're doing tracklist in order. I think they're doing the tracklist in order because they're hashtagging it tracklist, I think.
Right, yeah.
But there's a poster from the from Pearl Jam's show in Philadelphia at the Made in America Festival last year that was held during Labor Day weekend. Uh-huh. So we're almost a one-year anniversary to that show.
Right.
That was Jay-Z's festival. That's when Jay-Z came out and they did 99 Problems with Jay-Z.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a poster of it done by Brad Clausen on one half and the Ames Brothers on the other half. See, you're laughing at me.
I am laughing at you. That is some intense fan knowledge.
Well, Clausen is a known Pearl Jam associate. I've actually met Clausen. I met him and the Ames Brothers actually. Ames Brothers were kind of mean to me once, but but the second time I met him, they
probably
were nice.
Probably because you knew way too much about
the
them.
The second time they were nice, and I think it's because I gave them a $20 bill for their book.
Oh, that could do it.
But anyway, the
people
left
respond well to cash.
Yeah, they do. There's all these. The poster is like a corrupt dollar bill. So it's. I actually have the poster at home. It's awesome.
And I want to say I've seen it, but
you've seen it. If you see my Facebook page, it's the background photo of my Facebook
page. Yep.
If you look at that picture, there's all kinds of little cryptic things that
sure.
like revolution is spelled backwards in the seal. It's like. A bunch of different names of former 76ers like Charles Barkley and Dr. J. And on the right side, it's the bankrupt states of America. There's all kinds of little like cryptic things. There's an Illuminati little triangle in there because of Jay-Z. So I wonder if they're getting a little cryptic with their messages.
I think they
here.
Are. I absolutely
because it's
that.
A very like Led Zeppelin-y like 70s rock and roll thing for to do. And when Pearl Jam first came out, they were kind of accused of being this. You know, dumbed down, jockish, like 70s rock. It wasn't like, they were heralded, of course.
Yes.
But the people who didn't like Pearl Jam were like, well, that's just like 70s rock and roll.
Right.
That's not anything all too great. So
I would beg to differ because 70s rock and roll is pretty
same here.
Awesome.
But finally, we should briefly discuss Drumgasm.
Oh, finally. We've paid our money. It's time for the payoff.
Yeah, I didn't buy Drumgasm.
Oh, okay.
I did not buy Drumgasm because I was like, you know, I love Matt Cameron. She's probably one of my top five favorite drummers. Janet Weiss has got to be in the top 10. And then Zach Hill from Hella and Quasi. So, you know, they all three got in a room for a weekend. They jammed out in like 2006-ish. They released their vinyl last weekend and CD. It comes out tomorrow, actually. Excuse me. It comes out today. Technically, the 27th of August.
Mm-hmm.
If you Google spin.com and Drumgasm, there's a SoundCloud of it. The music itself is like, you can't tell who's doing what. It's just totally, they're never really in sync. That sometimes they find a rhythm, but it's for like, it's two tracks, 22 minutes on each side, I think. And so it's very like
it's two tracks.
Two tracks. It's actually meant. It's actually one long session. It's a 45-minute session, but it's split in half.
That's
funny.
I don't know, man. Let's do something. Like we're thinking about the slow thing.
Yeah,
right?
I'm into that.
Two minutes, huh?
Per side. Yeah.
Yeah. 1 minute in.
Yeah, you know, and this is going to sound like I think it's horrible, and I don't. I don't think it's horrible. I just think it's not something I would revisit. I've listened to it. I don't think I will listen to it again. But it sounds like something like Guantanamo Bay detainees. You know what I mean? And I don't mean it in a bad way.
I don't.
It sounds like
torture music, and I don't mean that in a bad way.
I mean it
in the most endearing, lovable, kind-hearted torture
terrorist
way.
You know, the beginning of Zero Dark Thirty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like just play this with like a super surround system.
Sure.
They're gonna talk.
Yeah. I mean, I'm about to spill all my secrets, and we're 90 seconds in.
Crank this shit up, and it's just like there's no rhythm, but it's good. But you can't...
Talk, Travis! Talk! Tell me your secrets! What do you know? What do you know?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to play for a fan. I didn't mean to call Eddie pretentious in the last podcast.
Where are the drums? Where are they?
But seriously, like, you can't dance to it. You could never sing to this.
I don't see myself behind the wheel, cruising down the highway.
See, there's a rhythm here, see? It's gonna go away. There, gone. It's almost like Hot for Teacher, right?
Yeah.
But not anymore. It's like there are moments when they find a groove, but it's very fleeting.
So weird. What a bizarre thing. Like, there's some things that you do for fun.
Yeah. This is one of them.
But then you keep it. You don't share that with the world. It's your own little secret.
Yeah. Well, I mean, come on. Like, I was willing to just drop my $15 plus five on, just drop my $20 on that, based on Matt Cameron's name alone.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad I got to give it a listen the week before it came out.
Yeah.
Just so I knew. Because I was serious. I was listening to it, and I had it on in background, and I was trying to work. And I could not work to it. I was like, I was typing. I was like, what was I thinking? Oh, crap. What? Like, I just didn't know what I was doing as I was. It's like the best kind of ADD. It's like percussive ADD.
And there's the name of our episode. We're a little scattered on this one.
Yeah, it's
connect
ridiculous.
The dots, people. Connect yes. the dots. We're weaving our own little tapestry of artwork for you on
and
this.
Let's
one.
Bring it all the way back to the beginning of the episode, a whole like 74 minutes ago, or however long we've been doing this for. What, 74 minutes?
Hard to say. Roughly 60. We're getting close to 60.
Okay. Well, let's talk about. Let's play this for another 14 minutes.
Okay.
And then we'll go back and edit where I say 74.
Yeah.
And then I'll be right.
That'd be perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now let's close the episode with Spin the Black Circle.
Ah.
Since in honor of Shadow, who are releasing vinyl today, which you can buy at Easy Street Records in Seattle. I'm sure you can buy it online. If they have
I'm sorry, I lost my attention span. I don't know what you're talking about. What?
Okay, well, spin the black circle. Come on. I already spilled my secrets. And it's I don't have much else to add. I don't think there's much coming up by the next time we talk. By the next time we share our intimate Pearl Jam thoughts with our loyal listeners.
Ew.
We will have already heard the seen the track listing.
No,
the
that's
official.
True. Yeah.
So we can discuss that.
And how many days until the album?
If you'd pull up that Pearl Jam tab right there, pearljam.com, there's a countdown. So I think we're in 50-some, I'm going to guess.
Close enough.
Yeah.
Close enough.
And I'll tell you all about Shadow, because I'm going to go see Shadow tonight.
You're going to go?
Yeah. I will be there.
Photos? You going to post some photos?
I will post photos
at
gorillacandy.com.
You going to bootleg it?
I'm not going to bootleg it. If I'm lucky, maybe there will be a MP3 download with the vinyl that I purchase.
Maybe you can get Mike McCready to say, hey, this is Mike McCready, and you're listening to the Evil Little Ghost podcast.
You know I'm thinking that, but it's not going to happen.
You could ask him.
Yeah, I might get a picture of me and Mike to go along with a picture of me and Mike where he looks like he's totally wasted.
There you go.
But he's not.
Have I shown you the picture of me and Mike and Duff McKagan?
No.
Yeah, I'll show you that picture. Yeah. It's pretty awesome. All right. Well, we're done then, right?
Yeah. GorillaCandy.com, Evil Little Goats, episode 8. Thanks for listening.
There you go. We'll see you next time.